My message this morning is preceded by worship on the Lord's Day, especially in the catechism last night, where Reverend Van Eyck led us in Lord's Day 46. I want to turn to page 57 and read one question and answer in the back of your Psalter hymnals. Question number 116. And just focus on that question and what it has to do with Thanksgiving. And afterwards, we'll turn to page 660 in your pew Bibles or Psalm 136 in your personal Bibles. Question number 116 asks this question: why do Christians need to pray? And the answer is because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us, and also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. Question and answer number 116. And now to Psalm 136. Page 616. Or Psalm 136 in your personal Bible. Listen carefully. This is the word of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for His steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for His steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for His steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His steadfast love endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, for His steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His steadfast love endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for His steadfast love endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for His steadfast love endures forever, a heritage to Israel, His servant, for His steadfast love endures forever. It is He who remembered us in our low estate, for His steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes. For His steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. So far the reading of God's word. Psalm 136 is sometimes called the Hallelujah Psalm because it contains no petitions, no complaints, and no problems. Instead, it contains a list of moments where God worked in history, each answered by the refrain, "His steadfast love endures forever." And isn't that why we worship together on Thanksgiving Day? To maybe list, or maybe better to say, remember how our prayers and petitions, our supplications and requests have been answered by the Lord in the past, and particularly over the past year. No doubt the worship leader in the Old Testament synagogue would repeat the first line of each verse, and the congregation would respond, "His steadfast love endures forever." This is a call to thanks, a call to thankful praise. The psalm begins, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of God. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His steadfast love endures forever." Three reasons to thank God today. He is good. He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. And there are plenty of gods and lords all around us. But there is only one true God who rules the universe. And to that great God belongs our best and deepest and highest praise and thanks. Consider the meaning of these things. He is truly the supreme ruler of the universe. He is good in everything that he does. It is impossible to overestimate the value of these truths. If he were not supreme, we would not worship him. If he were not good, we would not trust in him. But because he is both good and the ultimate Lord of the universe, we not only trust him, but we also bow before him in thankful praise and worship. Note the answering chorus in each verse. His steadfast love endures forever. These are simple words, but they remind us that all things display God's love at work on behalf of his children. The Hebrew word translated love in this passage refers to a loyal love, a faithful love. You might call it covenant love. It's love that lasts because it is based on an unbreakable commitment. It's the love of a husband for his wife, or the love of a mother for her children. God's love is eternal because his covenant is eternal. God cannot not love his people. But the meaning goes beyond that. Maybe some of your Bibles say, his love endures forever. Maybe some of your Bibles say, his mercy endures forever. Notice our Bibles in the pew say, his steadfast love endures. Endures. Lasts. Outlasts all the problems of life. Transcends the problems we face every day. It goes on when our life comes to an end. Let me say it again. God cannot not love his people. The great Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon said it this way: "No saint shall fall finally or fatally sorrow may bring us to the earth and death may bring us to the grave, but lower we cannot sink, and out of the lowest of all we shall arise to the highest of all. When we stand by the grave of a loved one, we have to know the truth. Not the feel-good truth, but the real truth. Where is he? Where is she? Where is my child? Is death the end, or is there something else? And what gives us the confidence that we need to face death with our heads held high? How can we cross the Jordan to reach the other side? We can because his steadfast love endures forever. That's it. That's our hope. We die, but his merciful, graceful, steadfast love is never ending. We fail, but he still loves us. We stumble and fall. His mercy, his love, his grace endures. It never stops. It is the never-ending, all-encompassing, and all-surpassing love of the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Verse 4, if you look at it again, tells us what this means when it says, and I want to insert something in here, which is assumed that you know. Verse 4 assumes you know, give thanks first. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. Notice it says to him, but it implies give thanks to him. You see, the great wonder of it all is that all things must work for those who belong to Jesus. Because Jesus' love to you is forever. This is a call to thankful praise. But this psalm is also the cause for thankful love. The love of God towards his people. The remainder of Psalm 136 contains a survey of God's faithfulness, beginning with creation in verses 5 to 9 and ending with Israel's entry into the promised land. You might think of it as it applies to you today. It starts when you are born and it ends when you die and go to heaven. The cause for thankful love is in the creation itself. Let me read these verses to you in a little different way, inserting what I just said. Give thanks to him who by understanding made the heavens. Give thanks to him who spread out the earth above the waters. Give thanks to him who made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, the moon and stars to rule over the night. And after each one of those, his love endures forever. In the beginning was the Word. That's what the Bible says. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 5, to him who by understanding made the heavens. Verse 6, to him, give thanks to him who spread out the earth above the waters. Give thanks to him who made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, the moon and stars to rule over the night. The universe came into being because God willed it to be in his love. The writer to the Hebrews says it this way, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. You can't see love. You know it because God tells you. He commands you to love him and to love your neighbor. The entire universe came into being by a plan that comes from the hand and the mind of Almighty God. Nothing was made by chance. Nothing evolved into being by random mutation. God's understanding stands behind the universe as we see it. If you leave God out, you've missed the fundamental truth about the universe. But it's actually more than that. The fundamental truth explained is that in his love, he created. God loves his creation. It is a labor of his love. When we see the mountains, his love made them. The sky, his love made that. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks to him and enjoy the sun, the moon, the sea, the land, the creatures, great and small. Since the universe as it is rests on God's understanding, no one can understand the universe properly without knowing God. In order to understand human origins and the true history of the universe, we must begin with God's understanding as he has revealed it to us in his word. Start there and you stand on firm ground. Start anywhere else and you sink into the quicksand of unbelief. We all wrestle with these questions. Where did I come from? I so like the children's catechism. First question is, who made you? Children, who made you? God. Second question, what else did God make? All things. And why did God make you and all things? And the answer is, for his own glory. Why am I here? What is my purpose? But to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's the first answer of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Where am I going? Well, I'm going to follow Jesus wherever he takes me. Where did I come from? Who made you? Until you answer that, you cannot answer the other two questions. Why am I here and where am I going? These questions are important because it forces us to confront the most basic issues of life. If we didn't come from anywhere and aren't going anywhere, then all we have left is 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years on this planet. Why not just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die? Why get involved in anything outside ourselves if this is all the life has to offer us? But if we were made in God's image, if he loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us, then nothing matters more than knowing God deeply, personally, intimately, to the bottom of your heart. Verses 10 to 15 of our psalm talk about the Exodus. Give thanks to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. For his steadfast love endures forever. Why? As we look outside in the great creation, we see all the stars that he made. And they speak to us in creation that he is there. And then we ask this question, who are we? Who am I, O Lord, that you would be mindful of me? The Lord told this to Moses. It was not because you were more in number than any other people. Why is there election? Why does God choose some and not others? It was not because you were more in number than any other people, or that you were better looking, or that you had more money, or that you came from certain people, that the Lord has set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of people. He's talking to the people in Israel. He's talking to the people in the wilderness. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. In other words, he's keeping his word, that the Lord has brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love. There's that phrase again. With those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. In other words, until the end of time. Amazing miracles whereby God freed and fought for his people during the Egyptian bondage. To him give thanks who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, who brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through it, but swept Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. He is the Lord God who saves his people by his never-ending, steadfast love. You've heard this so many times, but you need to listen to it again. For God so loved the world. That word in Greek for world is cosmos. That means everything that he made. It's not just the earth. It's not just people. For God so loved the cosmos, for everything he made, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. They reject his love, for God so loved what he made. You and me. God has no trouble saving his people from their enemies and defeating sin and the devil. He has no trouble parting the Red Sea. He has no trouble in any kind of miracle in your life that you don't understand, but is miraculous nonetheless. He only asks that you acknowledge what he did. And don't take credit yourself. We should thank the Lord, not only that we are delivered, but that our enemies are scattered, confounded, and utterly defeated, because his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 16, give thanks to him who led his people through the wilderness. I don't know what your wilderness journey is like. Sometimes it's hard for me. The psalmist sums up 40 years of wandering in one verse. To him who led his people through the desert, his love endures forever. I think right here it should be his mercy. What a blessed mercy that was. What grace was bestowed upon them when they deserved no blessings at all. So many things happened during those 40 years. The people were fed with manna and quail. There was water from the rock. There was Balaam and his donkey, Moses on Mount Sinai, the golden calf, the 12 spies, the bitter water, bleached bones in the desert, complaining and continual challenges to Moses, who was God's deliverer and leader. And through it all, God led his people to the promised land with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Two giant legs guiding his people through the wilderness, through the desert, to the promised land. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Note that God led his people through the wilderness, not around the wilderness. To get to the promised land, you have to go through the wilderness. It will be that way for all of us. God leads his children along to heaven, but they have no easy road as they make their journey. There are many detours, many switchbacks, many delays, more than a few seeming bad dead ends. But God works in and through it all. We finally arrive if we believe in him. Psalm 23 says, "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. His steadfast love endures forever." And he not only speaks, the psalmist, of the wilderness experience, but of the conquest. Verse 16, "Give thanks to him who led his people through the wilderness." And then 17, "Give thanks to him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of the Bashans, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his servant. His steadfast love endures forever." You can find these stories, Sihon and Og, in Numbers 21. When Israel desired free passage through the land of the Amorites, Sihon the king refused the Israelites and then attacked them. He was soundly defeated, and Israel ended up occupying all the cities of the Amorites. As they marched up the road, Og, the king of Bashan, marched out with his army to do battle. He too was totally defeated. His steadfast love endures forever. What an encouragement these verses are, because they remind us of God's faithfulness in spite of our repeated defeats, failures, anxieties, worries. Our love fails him, but he never fails us. It would have been easy for the Jews to think our sin has made God forget us. We have no hope. We have no future. We've blown everything. But despite their sin and foolish unbelief, God never gave up on his people. And let every child of God that's here today take great hope and give thanks in this. Your past does not determine your future. If you have failed again and again, but still you are here, you understand there is still mercy if you trust in the Lord. There is still grace for your life. Who knows but what tomorrow may bring, and that you may yet see God win a great victory in your life, because his love for you endures forever. Throughout history, verses 23 to 25, this is always wonderful to look back. That's what we do today. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, verse 23, and rescued us from our foes, he who gives food to all flesh. Verse 23, he remembers you. He has freed you from your sin, and he will feed you. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me the spiritual food I need today to make it through that wilderness journey. He remembered us by sending Jesus to save us. For God so loved the world. For God so loved not only everything he made, but you and me, as he is mindful of us. He freed us from our sins. He feeds us every single day, not only the food we need, but the spiritual food. What God did for ancient Israel, he does for his people everywhere, all the time, in every situation, because his love endures forever. And we come to this conclusion In verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven. Give thanks for the true God. Give thanks for the God of the Bible, who has given us his word that we can pick up and we can read and we can pray about today at our meal. Go around your table and ask this question: what are you thankful for? How do you see God's love as it worked in your life in the past year? And then let's pray. Give thanks to the God of heaven. There are always three important conclusions to thankfulness to God. First of all, history is not about us. It's about God. Now, that may seem elementary to you, but it's a profound truth. You are not the center of history. God is. What happens to you matters. But the real point today is to glorify God and to thank him in all things, to see his hand at work, to believe in him in the darkest moments, to give thanks for every victory that you've had in the past year, to lean upon his word, to grow more and more like him every day, because it's about his love and how you can imitate his love and how you can have his love not only for your neighbor, but also to give back to him. To live so that others find it easier to believe in him also. That is why the psalmist connects the concrete facts of history with the triumphant cry of thankful praise: give thanks to the God of heaven. If we miss this, or if we downplay this, or if we think that God is somehow optional in our lives, then we have missed the very purpose of our existence. What is the chief end of man, says the Westminster Shorter Catechism, but to glorify God and enjoy him forever? And how can you enjoy God if you don't love him? How can you enjoy him if you don't feel his love for you? Who made you, children? God. What else did he make? God made everything. Why? For his own glory. And how can you glorify God? By loving him and doing what he commands. How short-sighted we are. How quick to forget God's goodness to us. We pray for deliverance and then complain when he comes and delivers us. We are born wishing for something better. This psalm reminds us every single verse that God's ways and our ways are not the same. Most of the time, we will only see God's plan as we look back. And as we look back today, shall we say, oh, I see it now. And that, brothers and sisters, is what Thanksgiving Day is for. Oh, I see it now. To look back in retrospect and to give thanks and say, hallelujah, I see it now. We need this psalm to remind ourselves, because we are so prone to forget it, that God works across the centuries to establish his purposes on earth in his steadfast love, which will endure after this planet is consumed in fire and our lives are with Jesus forever and ever. We aren't the center of the universe. God is. Give thanks to him, for he is good. His love endures forever. And our faith rests not on myths or well-wishing or sentimentalities, but it rests on facts. And that's why history is recited for us in this psalm. God means something like this to you today. Not only read your Bible and the history of God's faithfulness to his people in love, and how he chooses people only in his love, not because of something you have done, not because of some place where your relatives came from, not because you're famous or because you have money, but only because he loves you. Read the Bible, make up your own mind. Can you see how God loves you and then how you need to love him? The Ten Commandments, love God and love your neighbor. And finally, remember the big picture today. His steadfast love endures forever. That's why there's this refrain in this psalm. Do you know the reason why the psalm was written like this is so you can memorize it? Did you ever think of that? You only have to memorize half the verses. The other half you already know. Say it over and over again to yourself. Repeat that phrase. His love endures forever. Memorize it. And when you feel yourself tempted to despair, ponder this thought. His steadfast love endures forever. When you want to give up, write this thought down and stick it on your dashboard. His love endures forever. Tell your husband, tell your wife, tell your children, his love endures forever. And when the devil himself whispers into your ear that you are a loser, you tell that old ancient dragon to hit the road because God loves you. He will never stop loving you. He will always love you to the end of your life. When you've had all you can take, when the world seems to collapse all around, stand up, lift up your head, and shout to the skies, my God's love for me endures forever. No matter where you're going, no matter what your problems, no matter how you feel about it, his love endures forever. At this time of year, we give thanks. We see God's faithfulness to his promises as we look back and see his love for us. Thanksgiving Day, people of God, is chiefly a day of prayer. Why is this necessary? Because it's the chief way we thank God for his love to us. We come today and bring with us the accumulated weight of our fears and worries, the remembrance of our failures and successes, with our dreams and our hopes. What will the new year hold for us? Well, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I am certain of this. And on this I will take my stand and go to my grave. His steadfast love endures forever because God is God. And it will be just as true in 6 months as it is today. Because God cannot change, his love will never change. Keep that in mind as you face uncertainties before you. Perhaps things will go well for you in the coming months. I hope so. Perhaps you will experience amazing answers to prayer. I hope that too. May that be your portion. Remind yourself that we serve a God who acts in history. Remember that his ways are not our ways. Ponder his mighty power in the past. Consider how he has led you thus far. Think of the many promises he has made and fix your mind on the Lord Jesus. And no matter what else happens this year, stake your claim right here and now and rejoice forevermore because his steadfast love endures forever. So be it forever. Amen. Shall we pray? O Lord, our God, you repeat something for us over and over and over and over again, so it will be ingrained upon our hearts. We like to talk a lot about love, but we don't see it in as many ways as you have given it to us, explained it to us, promised it for us. We thank you today on Thanksgiving Day for being our God, a loving God, not that we first loved you, but that you loved us and sent your Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, that we might live in your love, your enduring love, forever. We thank you and praise you for this message from Psalm 136. May it be used for our benefit in the days to come and the years ahead. Amen.